far as slavery goes, they're positively civilized about it. The Chevs are treated better by the Chevins than many so-called free people on other worlds.
Perhaps it does not quite seem so to the Chevs, Dorvan said mildly.
Perhaps the Chevs might do a little research,
Dalla said, irritation creeping into her husky voice. She handed the pad back to Dorvan, sighed, and rubbed her temples.
You know, one day I'd like to make it to noon with no bad news.
I'll have Desha deliver the morning briefing in the future, then.
Dalla smiled a little, but it did not reach her eyes.
Anything else?
There was. Dorvan ran down the list. Rumors of discontent among the Moffs, nothing new. The Senate was locked in debate over extending certain treaties. Species pride parades were blocking off certain sections of the city, and extra guards were being required to make sure order was maintained.
And finally, I will be continuing my lunch breaks on the steps of the temple.
He had started these a few days ago, taking his packed lunch. Dorvan always ate at his desk. He never had time to actually leave it to visit the cafeteria.
And sitting next to Raynar Thul, who kept a strange sort of vigil every afternoon.
Thul would come out and simply sit at noontime. An eerie personage who was Jedi, but not convincingly so. Human, but not fully so. His mind went in interesting and fascinating directions. And while Dorvan ostensibly went to see if he had anything that could possibly be of use to the GA, he enjoyed the conversations on a personal level. For a while, Thul had been thronged by reporters, but they seemed to have dwindled after the first few days. His conversations with anyone were always public, including those he had with Dorvan.
How's that going?
Dalla inquired.
Dorvan shrugged. Thul is a fascinating person. I haven't enjoyed lunch quite so much in some time. But as for assisting us, I don't think he really thinks in those terms.
Well, you've not taken a vacation in the entire time you've worked for me, Dorvan. So if you feel like spending your lunch breaks listening to a madman spin tales, then I certainly won't stop you.
Thank you, ma'am.
He rose to leave.
Win?
Yes, ma'am.
That game of politics. I think it's time you started to learn to play. You may tell Raynar Thul that starting today, he'll be having lunch with Wynne Dorvan, my chief of staff.
He paused and looked at her. She smiled and nodded. She was quite serious.
Well then, Dorvan said, I'll accept his congratulations, or perhaps condolences.
Dalla chuckled. Clatooine was an arid planet. Ben, Vistara, and Luke peered down on a sandy yellow ball of a world, marked only by a few areas of vegetation or the blue of oceans.
Lovely,
Vistara said, wrinkling her nose. Do you not like desert worlds? Is your homeworld lush and green, Vistara? Luke said casually, locking them into orbit. Vistara's full lips thinned, and she remained silent. But otherwise, she showed no sign of the irritation Ben knew she must be feeling. Ben didn't know about his dad or her, but he was getting awfully tired of all this dancing around everything. He wished he could just talk to her like a regular girl. He wished he could trust her. He wished she weren't Sith.
So what's worth writing home about this place?
He asked his father. More to break the uncomfortable silence than because he was actually curious.
Not a lot, Luke replied. Here the beings we'll be interacting with. We have a couple of days while we wait for Lando, and it's a good opportunity to resupply before heading into the Maw.
He touched a button and a hologram appeared, slowly turning. It was of a bipedal being, with a bald pate, deep-set eyes, and heavy jowls around a mouthful of sharp teeth. The hands and feet looked humanoid, but there was something about how the face was arranged that made Ben think of a
dog, he said. The Clatooinians evolved from canines, didn't they?
Sharp eyes, Luke said. And you're right. Bastara's lip had curled in repugnance.
What
ugly creatures, she said.